Now it's time for the Wallops and Assateague Island Report, sponsored by Pohanka of Salisbury. Here's your host, Robin Rothschild.
And hello, I'm Robin. Beautiful day today. I am so excited about this special edition of the Wallops and Assateague Islands Report. I have an amazing gentleman here. His name is Coach Bill Yost. Hi, how you doing, Coach?
Great, Robin. It's a real pleasure to be here, and it is a beautiful day.
And you know what? I am just so excited to have met you. For those of you that are familiar with Coach Yost, he is one of the main characters of the movie, 2000 movie, Remember the Titans. And just an incredible, incredible story. I just want to give a little background. That was one of my favorite movies. It's just such a great story about humans and about people overcoming diversity and challenges and character building. So I recently moved to Bethany, and I was at breakfast, and I see the book Remember This Titan, that's the Bill Yost story, and then, the movie pictures, and I say to the young girl that runs the diner, I said, gosh, that's one of my favorite stories. She says, well, the coach comes here for breakfast, and I was just so fortunate to be there at breakfast all by myself, and who sits down next to me at the counter but Coach? So I said, would you please come to the program, and we've been getting to know each other and becoming good friends, and it's just a real pleasure to have you here today. So thank you.
Robin, it's a pleasure to be here. It's been a while since I've been on the radio, but Coach Boone and I have traveled all over the country since this movie came out, which was in year 2000, and I think since then, I think we've been 48 of the states, and having a good time. It's been a real roller coaster ride.
Let's just start a little bit I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about you growing up. I'm in the process of reading your book right now, who, by the way, was written by a gentleman named Steve Sullivan. And you were just telling me that this young man that wrote the Bill Yost story, Remember This Titan, he was one of your quarterbacks.
Yes, he played quarterback for me in 1967 at Hammond High School. And went on to, and he's now a pretty nationally motivational speaker and has several books. He came and spent about a week at the house, and I told him, I said, Steve, now, I want everything in this book to be true. That's not altogether true about the movie, but everything in this book is true.
An amazing story from the get-go. Because what really surprised me is that you're from the South, and that when you were 9 years old, you were working in the cotton fields.
Yes, that's 9 years old. Robin, I was born back during the Depression, and back then we did pick cotton. We chopped cotton, and then we picked cotton and took it off to the gins to have it ginned, and I was 9 years old when I started picking cotton. My dad was always traveling. He was always gone somewhere looking for work. He'd go down and he'd hop on a train and ride the train off. And when I was growing up, I thought, well, some of these days I want to be a hobo just like my dad. Then one day the circus came to town. My dad joined the circus and left, and I didn't see him again for 45 years. So my mother and my sister and I sort of grew up together. Times were hard, but I didn't realize it. We were poor people, but living in the country, we didn't realize we were poor. We had our own gardens, and I didn't know what candy was. I just, the nearest thing to candy I ever had was cough drops. So, I did live in Alabama all the way through my teenage years, and hung out with a bad crew for a long time. I was going to be a minister, and after I went into service, they drafted me right out of the high school in 1943, went into the Air Force for 3 years, came out, went to college, and decided to, when I was doing my practice teaching at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, was with a group of kids, and they were the orneriest bunch of kids you've ever seen. I said, these are the kids that I need to work with, and they'll never be at church. That's when I decided to be a teacher and a coach rather than a minister, and I enjoyed it. Didn't make a lot of money, but I sure had a good life, and it's been great, and it still is. Still on a roller coaster ride, and it's not over yet.
No, it's even just beginning in some ways.
Yes.
You know, it's always just new beginnings. So, Coach, you know, the main story here, you know, we had the pleasure of just talking for an hour in the car, which was a lot of fun, by the way. But, you know, most people, I want to back up a bit. I was at an event on Wednesday night with you. And I think one thing that was very, very cool was when a lady walked up to you and said, there's some high school boys here that would like to come and meet you. That was so precious. And so we're a group of us were sitting in a booth, and I'm on one side with Coach and one of his friends, and here these three high school boys get on the other side, right on the other side of the booth, and they all squinch in, and the look on their faces when they got to meet you and just sit there and ask you questions was priceless, I have to tell you. And it just shows that the story of your life and what you have achieved is just ongoing, especially with these younger kids. So my hat's off to you, because that was just fabulous to watch that. So bring us to 1971, when T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, actually the only public school in Alexandria, Virginia. Why don't you just kind of tell our listeners what you were telling me in the car, that there were three coaches. The head coach there was, we assumed, based on seniority, which you would have been the head coach for T.C. Williams High School. Bring us back there.
1971, and a lot of you people out there that are in the middle 50s and early 60s went through all this. You understand what I'm saying. When I said in 71, everyone was angry about something. Martin Luther King had just been assassinated. Vietnam War was going out. They just started busing students all over the away from their home. People buy a home, they look at the schools and the churches, and then all of a sudden their students are being bused across the city. So everyone was angry. And when they brought the schools together, they usually made the assignments on seniority. Well, we had three high schools. Well, that means we had three principals. We had three head coaches. Every sport had a head coach. So when they decided to they closed the black schools, about 40% of the students in George Washington High School were black. Us in the West End, we had no blacks. TCE maybe had a few blacks in the higher income area. So when they closed the schools down, they went to a K-6-222. So the two high schools, Hammond and GW, became junior high schools. They only had 9th and 10th graders. 11th and 12th graders went to TC, and we had 3,000 students in the top two grades. So we thought, of course, any coach would think that would be the best coaching position in the country. Well, I was told that I had the job, and I gave them a list of the people who I wanted to be my assistants. Even had a meeting of the coaches that were going to be my assistants. And then about a week before the season started, I was called in and told that they were giving the job to Coach Boone. Coach Boone had been in the city for 1 year. He came up from North Carolina, had a great record there, but he left North Carolina and came to Virginia, had been an assistant there at T.C. Williams for the year before. So when they gave him the job, of course, I was upset. I was disappointed. I was angry. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I thought I'd just get out of coaching. I've been coaching 20-something years already, so I thought I'd just get out and continue to coach. But my players had brought me a petition that they were going to not go into TC unless I went there. They were going to private schools. And I tore up the petition, talked to them about not doing that. That's not the thing to do. You only got 1 year left in your high school. But then the next day I started receiving phone calls from the private schools in the area. That's when I realized maybe they were serious about not going. And this had a lot to do with me staying at TC and going on to TC. I didn't mind being an assistant coach. I'd been a head coach long enough that it wasn't an ego thing. It was just my pride was hurt. But my family was still there close by, and so I decided to go and work with Coach Boone. So I stayed there and found out we had, with all that material, we had All-Americans, All-District, All-Region, but we didn't have a team. We had a group of great players, but they didn't want to play together. So this is what our big problem was, not talent. We had the talent, but we had to get them to the point where they would play together. So this is when Coach Boone decided to take us off to camp. Now, camp, we went to Gettysburg, Virginia. I didn't like the idea of going to Gettysburg, Virginia, but I told Coach Boone, I said, well, if we're going to go somewhere to fight, this is about as good a place I know to go fight. They've had some pretty good fights in Gettysburg. So we did go to Gettysburg. We spent 2 weeks there. We spent a lot of time just working and concentrating on things we had in common. And by the end of the week, the kids had become friends. Every night after dinner, we'd have skits. They'd put on their own skits, making fun of each other, the offense making fun of the defense, the defense making fun of the offense, both groups making fun of the coaches and mocking Coach Boone and his locker room lectures, the screaming and yelling. Nothing like you saw in the movie with Denzel. That was not Herman Boone. Another thing, when I see Denzel, I always thank Denzel for taking out all the curse words in that movie because Coach Boone was a cusser and a yeller and a screamer. And Denzel did take out all the curse words, so now I can take my grandkids to watch the movie. But after we came back, the kids came pretty well bonded at camp. When we came back, they were all a thing and having a good time. And got back, though, then we had the same problem with the parents. So when we got back, we each coach. Normally, when you coach in a high school, you have the kids from 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, right through the high school. Here we are, all of a sudden, we're teaching kids that are seniors that we've never coached before. We didn't know them. We didn't know their parents. We didn't know what their home situation was. So each coach visited the home of the group he was coaching. Like the offensive coach, line coach, went to visit the home of all the offensive players. The defensive line coach went to visit all the players that he coached. I was coaching the linebackers, and I visited the homes of all these kids. We wanted to find out, one, how many of them lived with their parents, broken homes? How many were on free lunch? And we talked to the parents, and we tried to explain to the parents, we want them to play football, but our first goal is to see that they graduate from high school. So this, we got the parents on our side by doing this, and we invited the parents to come to our practices. Then we had to go back and met with the faculty. They came out with a card called an eligibility card. Every kid had to take an eligibility card around to each teacher on Wednesday of every week. And that card was simply by conduct and attendance. If any teacher did not sign that card, that kid would not play in that game on Friday night. So this got the faculty on our side. They realized that we were concerned about their conduct and their attendance. So the eligibility card, I think to this day, that card is still in effect at T.C. Williams. But this way, we did get the faculty on our side. We also invited the faculty to be guests at our games. They could come at our game, sit in on our in the locker room when we taped them and had them taped them and got ready for the ball game. They sat in, and on the sideline we had chairs. They could sit on the sideline, and they listened. They could hear what was going on. So the faculty, this sort of wasn't the faculty over for it. The student body was won over simply by winning. When you start winning, your student body will join pretty soon. Now, the student body was pretty well segregated within the school. Remember, we had 3,000 kids in the top two grades. Well, in that school, there were certain bathrooms the white kids wouldn't go to and the black kids. So they had sort of segregated themselves within the school, in the lunchroom, in the hall, certain halls where certain kids hung out at lunchtime. So then they started putting the football players in jerseys and monitoring the school, monitoring the halls. They'd have a black student, black football player, and a white football player with a team jersey on, walking the halls, checking the kids that were out of class. So this sort of helped get the student body to come together. So this is the way that it was done. And we went on, as you know, we did. We went undefeated. We had 9 shutouts that year.
Coach.
And the last ball game of the season was in Roanoke, Virginia. We won that game 27-0. The team we played had a -5 total yards of offense for the day. So we had come together, and the kids came out of the bleachers. They all had the same colors. We are the Titans, Titan pride. And to this day, these young men still meet once a month, every month. They have given 14 scholarships with money they've raised by going around, speaking to kids, signing autographs, math shirts and pictures made up. They take donations as this money goes to a scholarship fund in the city of Alexandria.
It's just amazing. There's so many different facets to this story. And now, you know, this was 1971, which really, it was a long time ago, but it wasn't all that long ago. I was telling you in the car that I remember when I was in junior high in 7th grade, I grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland, that there was busing. They bused kids from Landover, Maryland, to where I went to school, which was in Beltsville, Maryland. So I remember those times, and it's just, this story to me shows that how where we are now, we're such a blended, you know, a blended society, which I think is fabulous. It's people are colorblind now, which again, you know, for the majority, I think it's wonderful. And what we were talking about in the car is that this story is so important because it was led by example all the way down the road, starting with you and Coach Boone. And then to get these kids that, which was, you know, what you said, you had all this amazing talent, but these kids didn't even want to talk to each other at first. And I was asking you, you know, at the beginning of that camp, that, you know, they were all in their little groups and that you forced them to spend time together, to room together, to get to know each other. And then when they get back again, then they start winning. Now the student body sees, by example, wow, this is what happens when you do come together. And you said at first you had to form a team first, and then they became the Titans.
Right. You know, it's like I told Coach Boone just recently. I said, Coach Boone, I didn't know you were such a nice guy until after I saw that movie. But we've become good friends, and we too can kid each other and talk about it. We talked about it quite often, as if we'd have known there was going to be a movie being made someday, we'd have probably screwed it up. But we did what most coaches would do at that time, and the coaches were coaching at that time. They went through some of the same problems right here in Delaware. They had the same problems. It has been something to look back on, and it's amazing. Greg Allen Howard, the guy that wrote this the screenplay. I'm still in touch with him. He lives down in Florida now. But the way he set the movie up and the way it happened is another story. So
That'd actually be another program. That'd be great to hear about that.
Talk about how it got started and where it went from there. And when Disney picked it up, when Mr. Bruckheimer called me in, the script was written in 1996. It's about 1998 when Mr. Bruckheimer called me and said, we're going to put this on the big screen and we're just waiting for Denzel to take it. And Robin, this was my first clue that I wasn't going to be a star when they told me that I was waiting on Denzel to talk about it. But Will Patton and I are good friends. We still speak often. His birthday is June the 14th, and I usually call him his mother. As a matter of fact, came down to visit me a couple of years ago. And Hayden Panettiere is big now. And, she is, and her mother, we are still in contact. So I'm still in touch with him. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that plays in this Nashville, the guy that's known as Deacon, was a graduate of T.C. Williams, graduated in 1983. So I was invited to a fundraiser by Deacon and his mother just recently, but I'm in Delaware, and the fundraiser was in Alexander, and I didn't get back for that. But it's been... it's a small world, Robin.
Yes.
It's a small world.
Yes, it is. You know, Coach, I think something that makes this story so... another part of what makes it so incredible is that going through all these challenges, you were undefeated, and you became the 1971 Virginia State Champions. And you were also mentioning to me previously that besides the eligibility card, which is the first I've heard of that, these players also had to do community service on top of everything else. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what the student body somehow they would line up projects for us, and we'd get together. Sometimes it would just be going, a lot of the players would go from the inner city up into the West End on the recreation hall and play with the kids on Saturdays in basketball or touch football or whatever. And then the ones on the West End, they'd go down to what we call the Berg and play basketball together with the kids. And we would go to the homes of some of the elderly and rake the leaves and paint sheds and move furniture. This was just something that we did as a group after they came back from camp, and this was set up by the student bodies, and they used the football players, and it gave us more of a chance to get together in the community. It was unusual to see a black student in the West End in the early 70s, but by the end of the year, it was not that unusual. In other words, they didn't scare them to see a black kid up in the West End. So you could see the community coming together. And to this day, the mayor of Alexander is one of our TC students. The chief of police in the city of Alexander was one of our safety men that played on that team in 1971. So it's not so much that they won the championship, but it's what they've accomplished after that year and the way they've stayed together. And we went on and had other state championships, but this group sort of greased the skid, so to say, mm-hmm. and made it a lot easier for the ones that, because we had the parents would come together and serve dinner for the kids. And we had the black parents and white kids changing recipes. So the parents got together. They sat together at the ball game, and we watched the parents become friends. And to this day, Julius Campbell takes his family and goes to the graveyard where Gary Bertier is buried at least once a year. Miss Bertier just passed away this past year. But Julius still visits Bertier's grave with his family. And so the way they came together, like I say, it's not so much they won the championship, it's what's happened to them since then. And they have been a great example. Sometimes making doing the right thing sometimes is hard. It's not hard to do the right thing. Sometimes it's hard to decide what is the right thing.
Right. You know, we were talking earlier about that. You know, your road, life is like a road, and you come to a situation, you can go left or right, especially if it's a T. You can't go straight. And it's just a lot of times our egos, you know, the situation that you were faced with, you just have to overcome it and figure out you did what's right, what was right for you and for those kids. And because of that, it helped change a whole city and people's thinking, really, back in that time.
Well, it's like I tell Coach Boone, I said, you know, I tell people, sure, I wanted that job in 71. I wanted it bad, very bad, but I got to move instead.
Oh, Coach, well, we're out of time already, and I'd love to have you back because there's so many other things to talk about with you, you know, like your public speaking and, you know, what you do. I love the Kellogg story. I mean, I'd love to have you come back sometime.
Okay, anytime, Robbie. I'm a neighbor now.
That's right. I like my new neighborhood.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Coach. And that does conclude today's Wallops and Assateague special report. Have a good day.
This has been the Wallops and Assateague Island Report.